Yeah, and this is Steve from Flagstaff.
Hello.
Hi, Steve.
Welcome
Hello.
To the call. Here we are, worldwide live on BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS. Thank you, sir, who is, and thank you all for participating.
Somebody's playing with their logos.
This is a wild call so far.
does this sound better?
You sound good.
Now, wait a second. Remember how I sound, okay? And now I'm going
to
go on.
You can first move the line. In the meantime, I welcome those who just joined in.
Hi, it's Yogananda.
Hey, good evening. Welcome to the call, Yogananda.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Doing well.
That's not Yogananda.
Yes, Dharmananda.
Dharmananda.
Yeah.
And you know, now that Dharmananda has come on the line and said hello to everybody, we're no longer shy. Have you noticed? He's here. Full regalia.
Yeah.
He broke
got my
the
phone
ice.
Working.
Got your phone working. And,
yeah. And using Google Voice.
Yeah, I'm going to switch mics, and I'm just trying to get which one is better. This is all, actually, we rehearsed this. Heise and I go through this routine, and I said, okay, tonight I'm going to check my mics out. So, but he knows what he's going to say, but I can't tell you. It's got to be suspenseful. So hang on a second. All right.
Can you hear me, Hines?
Yep.
Can you? I got cut off. I can't hear you. Hang on. There we go. Can you hear me, Hines?
Yes.
Now, is this better than before? Before
no, it's not.
No.
Before it was better, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, this is better, right?
Yeah.
It's better, yes.
Okay. Is Terry there?
Yeah. Am I in as a moderator?
I don't know. Now there's an echo.
Does it start with a 5 or an 8?
You're in a cave. Can you guys...
I don't
you
know
need to
about
use
anyone else. I'm enjoying myself.
Who said that? Joel?
Echo.
Yeah, it's me. I'm like, this is everywhere.
So, Joel, I got a job for you this coming Monday. Are you ready?
What's that?
I'm going to have you get ready. Now, he can say no. He can say no because I didn't tell him. So, I was going to have you spend the first half hour of Monday interviewing Heise. Did you ever hear a pin drop?
I could do it. I mean, I talk for a living.
Heise, what do you think?
After how many years has that Heise has spent on here? Absolutely, I think.
A long time. Ask him how he got started. You ask him anything you want, okay? Hi, but let Hi say it's okay. Is that okay, Hi?
Sounds good to me.
Sounds good to you? Okay. So we're going to find out what makes Hi tick and how come he has a name that sounds like it should be H-A-A-Z and spelled G-I-J-S. He's going to have to explain that on Monday. We didn't mute everybody yet. Let's mute everybody. Is Terry here?
I don't like Jill.
Can I tell if I'm on moderator?
Yeah, you know what? Are you on it, Win, on the console? I'm not. I can't get in there.
I'm on the console, yeah.
Okay. They're going to email you my password because you're...
I just muted everybody. Okay. And Terry, talk.
Yeah.
Okay, so we hear you.
Loud and clear.
Can you, Can you tell if I'm on the moderator side?
Well, if you weren't a moderator, I wouldn't hear you. Okay?
We muted everybody.
You would have got muted. So we're okay.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah. Sometimes it tells me how many people are on the call, and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah. Well, must be a woman. Fickle. Can't decide. Should we tell them tonight or shouldn't we? All right.
Well, what?
Let's get started, okay? We've done enough to get the energies going, and let's...
Probably move the mic a little bit further away from you, Merwin.
A little further away.
Yes.
Okay. Is that better?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Time will tell.
Yeah. You know, I have this. I got this amazing gadget that I'm using right now, and I think it's going to sell like crazy. I don't think no one ever heard of it, but what it is, it's a little Bluetooth device that you plug into your phone line at your house. That puts your cell phone and all your house phones.
Hmm.
And so if your cell phone rings, your house phone rings. And if you pick up a house phone, you're calling on your cell phone. So that's what I'm using now. I'm using that gadget in a regular old phone, and I'm talking into a phone. And what's cool about it is there's absolutely no chance of cell phone radiation. That you're really far from the cell phone, and you can use those old-fashioned phones that have pretty good quality, which is what I'm talking on. And
it is that, to be honest, though, at this point, it's not the greatest, Win.
It's not the greatest. Okay.
No.
So I don't know if it's the phone I'm talking on or the cell phone apparatus, but
mm-hmm.
we will go through it. I'm not going to go anywhere. You can hear me, though. You can understand me?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Terry, can you understand me?
Yes.
Do I sound very clear to you, Terry?
Normally. Most of the time.
Right now?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, eyes might need a new headset.
I don't have a headset. But is your charger unplugged?
Is my charger plugged in? Let me see here. No, it's not plugged in. Okay.
Okay.
So, there's no distortion there. Let me see if there's any last-minute questions tonight. There's no last-minute questions. There's some really good questions. And, Terry and I have been spending the last 5 hours making up the answers to these questions.
Over the post office line.
The post office line, right. Now, you know what? That's something no one has ever accused me of. They've never accused me of making up answers to questions, you know? And so that's a good sign. And, Terry, you're not ready. Did I start the recorder? I can't remember now. Let me see here. Hang on.
You have not done that yet.
I have not done it, but okay. Right, I'm going to start it.
This conference is being recorded.
So this is September 11th, 2013. Wynn and Terry in Arizona, and Hayes in Gallia, and all of you everywhere. And thank you for being here. This is our Wednesday call, when we ask questions and find out answers from other dimensions. And I say again, reminding everybody that these answers, particularly if it's about guidance to you, make sure you run it by and it resonates. Don't believe anything blindly. Keep in mind that it's always possible for Terry to lead through her own conscious mind. It's also possible possible, not likely, I don't think it happens, but it's possible to get a negative source and it actually gives us misdirection. And so the important thing is that you take these answers in and you decide to use what resonates, that you don't believe something blindly. Now, sometimes they answer something that we couldn't possibly know the answer to, and that we couldn't figure out. And usually, those answers are interesting, but they're not usually things that you change your life on. Sometimes people ask me those questions, and I put them sometimes somewhere in the list, but sometimes at the bottom of the list, because the most important thing are the tools that you can apply and helps you go through some kind of obstacle. And, you know, the interesting understanding of the esoteric nature of the universe doesn't usually do that. Although occasionally it does. Occasionally we can have a resonance with some previous period and it triggers something. So we call in the light at the beginning of the call. The light's already here. What is the light? The light is the energy that pervades the universe. It's the one energy that ties us all together. It's the one energy that starts from nothing and becomes everything. And it's the energy that the law of one is based on. Can you understand it any more than that? Probably not. All right. Although when it comes, when it shows up, there's an energy that many of us feel that connects us all. And Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this call. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light, transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our body, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining sovereign integrity of our soul, and we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. Before we bring in our sources, take a brief moment and ask for a little bit of protection for our planet. We'd like to ask for the highest good that Syria not have an attack by our country. We'd like to ask for this light to surround our planet and that all those who are reaching for connection and energy and love and God might have the opportunity to access it, whether they know about it or not. We ask for this energy to descend and surround all those people who are decision makers, who could make and ask for them to be for the highest good, to be able to access compassion, empathy, and care, and make their decisions based on the premise, on the concept. And let me turn it over to our sources for an introduction, and then we're going to go through the next question. Thank you.
We greet you on the left side of one infinite creator. We are here with you today Wednesday, September 11th, 2013. And we remember to do this date, difficulties, and send love light. Not only today, but now and every day. To those who were the victims of 9/11 and that they may move on and trauma be released from them and from all of the people that followed the news. We are delighted to be with each and every one of you and to make connection with those who wish connection made, whether it is on the phone line, on the computer, or whether it is on the replay line or in a transcript. And we thank all the volunteers who are working on the transcription project and those who are working to make material more known, putting up the audio on the website. And the website, one can go and access and can see the past calls, the audios, and the transcripts. And they are on www.thespiritchannel.net. We start the call and ask if you have questions.
Thank you. There's a little buzz on Terry's line when she's talking sometimes. I don't know what that is. If her phone is plugged in and it needs to be charged, then we'll have to just let it be. Sometimes when the phone is plugged in.
I didn't notice, Wynn. It might be your end.
Okay, thank you.
Continue.
Okay. All right, I won't ask any more questions, okay? First question here is from Don Herman. And Don asks about something in the Creator God book. And it says that intention is the bridge between this world and Source. How can this information be used in a practical way? That's a really good question, Don. Thank you.
Thank you. When you are accessing Source, you have some degree of attention upon it. You have some degree of determination to get through. You have a degree of focus upon getting an answer or making the connection. This all creates the light of connection. And like a light bulb, you are glowing. The more focused your energy is. Sometimes individuals will say, I want to get better, but then they hear conflicting ideas that life is too much for them, and they are seeking escape. This creates a dilution of the intention to get better. So conflicting goals can create a conflicting bridge, conflicting connection, for us. One wants to, but one doesn't want to. But one wants to, but one finds it way too hard. Sometimes when individuals pray for someone else, and that person is, say, ill, and they want to get better, yet there are conflicting intentions within the person. When people pray, they can help to raise the electrical potential around the person and make the person stronger to be able to choose to get better. We hope this helps.
Thank you. One question I'm going to add to that is that I remember reading in the Creator God book myself that originally there were Elohim awarenesses or souls, but there was no physical universe. And the Elohim were able to, I don't know the right word, shoot frequencies, frequency boxes, spinning misses, maximum frequencies, and two, there would be multiple frequencies shot into the point, which would then become a point in time space, or I should say space time, the beginning of the universe, in other words, something that existed. And first off, let me just say, did I say that approximately correct?
Yes.
Okay. And then there was something about the nodes of the beat frequencies having something to do with all of that. In other words, this was very precisely engineered frequencies that were being projected to create certain beat frequencies. Harmonics, and all of it together would create a point in space-time. Am I still correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, the question is, tying this into Darren Herman's question, when one is creating an intention, and there's a human in this realm, and they're creating an intention, are they projecting a frequency with that intention vaguely similar to the way that the Elohim sent frequency out at the start of time, space time? And if that's true, then if there's someone else that's on a recipient of an intention or a prayer, is their frequency meeting the first person's frequency and creating a beat frequency, which creates a new potential possibility in this realm? Or if two people are praying together, are their frequencies coming together in such a way that is anywhere near similar to the way the Elohim created the universe, which is why and how something miraculous might occur?
Yes. When you have a human being, you have a lot of focuses of different complexities coming together to create the manifest body, the manifest flesh and blood body, the manifest light body. And these frequencies are projected or are intended. And the intersection of all these frequencies create a manifest being. When you have a human being, you have a composite. You have these cells. you have the systems working together, you have the organs, you have the bones, you have the DNA, and all of this has consciousness. And all of this consciousness is synchronized and is working together to provide the vehicle of the human body. There are frequencies also coming together that provide the light body, which is the vehicle the soul can travel with. If you had one being, you would not be able, without these crossing frequencies and focusing, to create a manifest body in the manifest realm. Does this help?
Yes. And so that's exactly what we're doing on our Sunday call and with other people who are doing prayers. And that's the process, essentially, simply one of the reasons prayers work. Yes?
Yes. We have stated when you make the prayer and the intention behind the prayer, it puts that prayer within the reach of the person being prayed for, and they have the choice to be able to access that and use it toward their growth and healing, or to choose a different path and to not use it.
Thank you. All right, next question. This is from Carolyn in Alaska. Is any soul in the universe allowed to incarnate on Earth? Or maybe I would like to reword that question and include that one. Is there any regulatory agency, like Council of Nine on Saturn, which is standing, making edicts about who can incarnate on Earth and who can't?
If a soul had the desire to incarnate on Earth, that would be the first qualification. There are edicts in place concerning Earth that guide the interdimensional travelers about the Act 2 airspace in the Earth plane. They have an edict in place of not having free interchange at this time due to the use of atomic weapons on Earth, not only in recent times, but in early times, thousands of years ago, it sets Earth space up with memories that make it difficult for individuals who live on Earth to stay clear of the potential for atomic weapons. There are edicts in place that give a wide berth to interaction, caution with interaction with the Earth species. This is complex depending upon which race is involved. As the Greys have interaction, but they know it would not be accepted, their interaction. And so it is not public. It is covert.
Mm-hmm. Does the council on Saturn regulate that, even though it's covert?
There is. They have the data warehouse, where and they interface with space systems, and they have their say in what is thought about, what is able to be thought about concerning space travel in the inner rings of solar system.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay, next question is from this is from Tony in San Clemente, and he's been asking this for a while. He asks about the violet ray, or the seventh ray, and wants to know more about it. And this is Wynn speaking. Metaphysically, I learned a long time ago that there were seven rays that emanated, I thought, from the center of the universe, but I'm not sure. There were seven rays, because people call them Kohan, and that they were colors, and that they were given names of colors. And the violet ray was one of them. As I recall, the violet ray is rather high in spectrum. And the seven rays relate to the seven chakras. And so maybe if our sources answer this, maybe they can tell us more about these rays in general. And then the specific question from Tony about the violet ray. Well, what are the qualities of the violet ray? How does one invoke the energy of this ray? And I should say here, why would one want to invoke the energy of this ray? And is it beneficial in removing blockages or unbalanced karmic debt? And that's the question. It's not too complicated.
Yes. Violet ray is connected with the sixth chakra and moving some into the seventh chakra. And it is bringing the ability to focus and bring growth and bring change and bring flow and help the individual adapt to his surroundings, both to coordinate the lower chakras and to coordinate with the upper chakras, wherein one can access the cosmos and the energy from the higher realms by going through the crown chakra. And above the crown chakra, then it becomes light, pure, white, light. And G. Violet is made of G. Blue and little red. And this helps the emotional connection and the change, the individual access and be able to modify situations and change and helps when one is leaving one's body or is transitioning to be able to keep the connection with the higher realms. The colors of the chakras change, and the throat chakra is blue and can be used for expression. When it is fully developed, the person will have an ability to communicate and to not have blocks in his throat chakra. The foundation chakra is of the earth colors, of red, and allows an individual to emotionally connect with his surroundings and to use the colors of the rays to trigger his chakra system, his foundation chakra, to use the colors of the rays to be able to digest or have the chakra system moving, connecting with its surroundings to localize foundation aspects. The heart chakra is green, which opens to abundance, has some intellectual capacity and some ability to flow in and out, but it is not like the mind. The control chakra is yellow, and the sexual chakra is orange, which contains passion.
Does it help if one is trying to activate a certain chakra? Does it help to think of that color radiating into that chakra?
Yes, it does. One can wear a clothing of that chakra. One can wear red shorts or can wear a low yellow belt or can wear a green shirt or a blue scarf.
What happens if you wear a red hat?
Then in your connection with the realms, the higher realms, you can begin to have emotion, or you can begin to have the grounding come in your connection with the higher realms. However, it can limit your connection by making a predominantly red space, and then you will not be able to use the indigo so much to connect. However, if you are lacking in the indigo, you can add some red and some blue to help prime the chakra.
Thank you. Could you visualize like a rainbow coming in and activating all your chakras at once?
We wouldn't call it a rainbow. This could be done multilinearly.
Okay, excuse me.
Go ahead.
Tell me when you're finished with that topic.
Yes, multilinearly. Thank you.
Okay. We had two questions here. We did a couple of things on the Anunnaki that I did, on the creation of humans. And we have a question from Gary Brownlee. And then I had a question. Let me start out with my question, and then I think that will lead into Gary's question. And, you know, according to everything we looked at, the Anunnaki were ET humans that were descended at one point from Elohim, way back then, and engineered humans. And there was two points of view between two brothers, one that wanted to nurture humans into a higher space, and the other that wanted to destroy humans or not allow them to procreate because it was violating prime directive. So, first question is, was that prime directive from the Elohim, or was that prime directive from a local confederation?
Local confederation.
Local. So there's no edict from God that says you're not supposed to do that, supposed to be, right?
That is correct.
Yeah. And then in the creation of humans, which were a hybrid of the Anunnaki and apes, were the Anunnaki susceptible karma, and did they get at least certain of them or all of them a responsibility, a karmic responsibility for this creation?
Thank you. They were affected by karma, and they had the right that they so liberally used by the laws of karma had these rights limited, self-limited, and limited by the local federation. They became responsible for their creation and are bound to work their way through by helping mankind.
So at this point, right now, in this moment, I would assume that some of them are helping us. And
yes.
The question is, in what form do they help? Do they help from the other side? Are they incarnated into the human dream? How are they helping?
Thank you. First of all, we want to qualify what we said before. Not everyone within the Anunnaki are responsible for the creation of mankind. And the karma affects each one comparable to what they individually have done in the creation and in the limitation that they placed upon mankind.
Thank you. Well, this could be a great topic for a Monday night. I think we should ask more about it. But the one question that you didn't answer, let me just ask it again, is in what form are understanding that each, they don't all have the same connection, they don't have the same abilities, I should say, in what form are they helping mankind at present?
They are helping in two ways. They are, some of them, incarnated into the human population and are moving their ideas through the population in accordance with their beliefs of what would be best. They are actually incarnated. There are others that are psychically bound but are not incarnated and are psychically working for the good of mankind. However, each individual is a separate situation. And many of them are working, even psychically, with the populations, but are not doing it within what is the best interest of those human populations.
Thank you. I'm going to ask Gary's question. Gary's question is, I have had the impression that the Anunnaki were basically negative. Then recently, I read or heard something that indicated they were from the Elohim. Could you please clarify? And of course, the original Anunnaki called themselves Elohim. So they must have had the conscious awareness they came from the Elohim, I would assume. So, same question. Thank you.
They did come from the Elohim. However, when, as we have mentioned before, the individuals in the manifest realm are complex beings. They are of more than one energy body working together. And some pollution, lower frequencies to the Elohim frequencies were entered. And as a whole, these beings, as they manifested, were able to project some of the distortions. And distortions came in so that although they, the individual in charge of the complex body started as a pure energy, loving, and without deception, they picked up frequencies and modes of being, depending upon their experiences that brought through these distortions. And then they began to express their own individuality in what they were bringing about in the manifest realm. There was huge differences of opinion about what should be done. And there were a few strong leaders that brought into existence what were the historical ancient memories or actions or structures that then moved through history and became what we have today. There were also the effect of star groups from other realms that were not Elohim, that, for instance, the Orions began to take hold, and some of the Elohim began to become contaminated with other systems of thought.
Someday, not tonight, we're going to have to ask the question, if they were not Elohim, where did they come from? But don't answer that, because if the Elohim...
Thank you. We'll welcome the question when you ask.
Yeah, it would be too long an answer, but I'm going to remind myself to understand how it would seem that everything in the universe had to originate from the Elohim, but then there were other universes that things could cross over from, so maybe that's the answer. We have a question
We will answer when the time is. Go ahead.
Okay. Kim asked a question, and it's not the right question to finish on, so we're going to have to ask that next week, Kim. If you don't mind, it has to do with kind of what might be a negative attack. And then Volker asked a question, and although he didn't word this well, pardon me, Volker, for saying that, because when you're dealing with these issues of war, what do we have here? We've got about 4 minutes. When we're dealing with these issues like in Syria, it's very easy for any of us to get polarized and get into hate for various aspects of the way things work here. And so Volker expresses some of that in his question. But I think in the back of everyone's mind, there's something about his question that the answer would be interesting or helpful. So the question is, what have the sources to say about our ability to stand up against the establishment and the war hawks to find other diplomatic ways to help Syrian people? I find it incredible that nobody tells those liars the real facts in their faces, that with U.S. help, former good friends to the U.S., Saddam Hussein, used weapons of mass destruction to kill the Kurds. USA has the biggest arsenal of chemical weapons. Anyway, I don't know where else I can post my question when you are all right. Okay. Is there any way to address that question?
To get to the source, if one were able to get to the source, what is happening, and to address all the components of which what is happening is made, would unravel the whole problem, and one would see that it could easily be solved. There is some progress. There is one view that eliminating the chemical weapons then would be a sign to other countries to not move in that direction. The other thing is that a solution, if the people are willing, can be found. One of the things that happens is when two people have a fight, it is often brought to a head by a third party. And people have seen in their own life how easy it is to create, through the use of gossip or bringing information in detrimental to one party or the other, how easy it is to influence the whole situation. We see your point that the United States has weapons, and how can they dictate to other countries to eliminate your weapons when they do not eliminate their weapons? And when one is in the third density, one sees these unequal, unbalanced, distorted situations. And one can imagine in the mind a world where these things, the differences, could dissolve into fairnesses. Thank you.
Thank you. So it is 58. We are going to close tonight's call. Thank you all for being here. Thank you, Terry. Thank you all for volunteers. And next Monday, Joel in Chicago is going to interview Hyde for at least a half hour. And then we'll see what happens next. Maybe we'll have some more questions about anything about the world right now. And let me get to our console. And I'm meeting everybody. And we'll see you next time. Thank you.
Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Wynn. Thank you,
Terry. Thanks, Wynn.
Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Terry.
Thanks, Wynn. Thanks, Terry.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you all.